And this is one of my favorite scriptures. And when I kept reading, once she stopped. And for some reason or another, I did not pick up, once she started reading, I did not pick up the fact that the continuing verses was part of my message. Even though this is part of my favorite scripture, I did not realize that the rest of what she did not read was right, you know, along with my message. So I'm going to read the rest of this chapter in your hearing, because it just blessed my soul that she was right in the area of what God wants us to hear today. Isn't that awesome? Isn't it awesome when someone can be connected to your spirit and be in the same atmosphere in the realm of the Holy Ghost, right along with you? Isn't it awesome? Isn't it awesome that it's not just you, amen, that can pull on the Holy Spirit, amen? Isn't it awesome when you can come into the Lord's house, amen, and feel him in the place, amen? And so when you come in here and you're beat down and all broken up, amen, and someone else has caught on, amen, to the Spirit of the Lord, amen, and able to bring him into the atmosphere, when you come in, amen, all you have to do is come on, somebody. I don't know if y'all understand that when you come into the Lord's house, amen, all you got to do is step across the step, because there is somebody else that already knows what it means. They're already pumped up. They already got the spirit. So I don't know if y'all get it right now. But when she read that scripture, even though she stopped just before my message, amen, I got so excited, I just sat right there and kept reading. I just kept reading. It's like when you go to the restaurant and somebody puts something on their plate that you don't have on your plate, and when they're sitting there, y'all get me? Wait, I just want y'all to catch up with me right now. And they just sitting across. I mean, we went to lunch with a dinner with Tominika for her birthday. And Pastor William was on the other end. Thank you, Holy Spirit. See, sometimes God got to bring an analogy to your mind so people can understand what you're talking about. Pastor William was sitting all the way down at the other end of the table. And Tominika and I and Monique and Ashley was down here on this end of the table. And James and Pat was kind of like in the middle of the table. And James and Pat was sitting in the middle of the table with crab legs piled this high up on their plate. And Pastor Williams was on this end of the table. And Monique, again, was down here on this end of the table. And Monique had a few little crab legs, just a few little crab legs. and Pat and James were just popping them and cracking them and eating them. And Pastor Williams was down there, and he loves them, but he don't like to crack them, and he don't like to mess with them. But don't you understand that when you get in the Lord's house and there's somebody that's sitting there with a whole pile of crab legs on their plate, and they're just cracking them, they're just eating them, and they're just enjoying the fullness of the Lord, and you just come in and you just want some crab legs, and you're not. Oh, you like the crab legs, and you like the Holy Ghost, but you're all broken down, and you just don't know how to get there yet, but you want some, and you got to eat some, and you just ready for them, but you don't feel like cracking them right now, but you want some of what they got, but you don't know how to get it just yet, but you see that they got it. Y'all don't hear me. But then you got somebody down here on the end that says, I know how to get into it just a little bit, and I want it, but I'm taking my time to get in it. So you got the people in the middle already there, and they were just a cracking, and then finally Cartier said, hey, if you just would crack them open for me. He said, if you would just break them open for me, I will sit down and eat them right along with you. So the person in the middle, Pat and James, they were in the middle eating them. James said, well, I don't know, you know, I'm not used to cracking them for you. I'm not used to cracking anybody. I just used to just eat them for myself. And Pat said, well, I'll crack them and pass them down to you. And James said, well, I'll teach you. James said, well, I'll teach you how to open them for yourself. And Monique said, well, why are you showing him? Show me too. See, y'all don't know what it means when you come in church and you don't know how they get it. You ought to be on the other side saying, well, show me, Lord. Give it to me, Jesus. Give it to me, Jesus. See. I don't know about y'all, but see, sometimes when you're going one way and God tells you to go another way, it's all part of your message anyway. You got to do what the Holy Ghost tell you. You got to follow the directions of the Holy Ghost. See, I said I was just going to stand here. I was just going to read what I put in my notes, because what I put in my notes was just as good. But I just had to give you that little piece because she messed me up when she read my scripture. And she was talking about Ephesians 6, and she didn't read 19 through 22, but it was talking about the end of my message, being able to pray for somebody. So that's when the Holy Ghost dropped in my spirit the analogy about Pat and James, being able to sit there and learn how to teach somebody, being able to sit there and learn how to feed somebody. The Bible says in Ephesians 6 chapter that sometimes you got to go into prayer for somebody. Sometimes you have to make petition for somebody. Sometimes you have to every now and then. They don't know what they need. They don't know what to pray for. So you got to pray for them. Oh my God. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord at all times and his praises. And the Bible said, I will pray continuously. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The title of the message today is The Gift. Somebody say, The Gift My Father Gave Me. And when I titled this message, actually, I saw the title of this message, and I said, God, this title works for me today. And then I said, God, it's a kind of play on words, because I want to talk about my father, and then I want to talk about God, my father. So if you would bear with me for a few minutes, I want to talk about the gift my own father gave me, and then I want to talk about the gift the heavenly father gave me. Amen? So there is a possibility that though being dead, we could still speak from the grave. What we do and have done and this present life will make a difference, and it will carry on. So my dad had a very, very good connection. Well, I had a very good connection with my dad. My dad was a minister at the church that he attended. He and my mom attended. When I was younger, I'm not really sure. I think they went to a church in Portsmouth when they were younger. And then they moved to Antioch, but they originally was in another smaller church. Is that right, Pat? But I only know about the church in Portsmouth on Palmer Street, because by the time I was old enough to remember church, that's the church I attended all of my life until I got married. And when I got married, I ran over to my husband's to be, which I didn't know at that time, church, where his mother attended. So I followed my dad to church everywhere he went. And so he had an influence on me through church. And not only just through church, but in our home life, because all I saw from my dad at that time was when he was saved and when he became a minister. Now, I believe I hear things and, you know, conversations about his lifestyle prior to that from the older siblings. I always talk about, you know, that earlier four, and then us, the second generation that came along. So I only know about him in the second generation, but I was a daddy's girl. Pat was a mama's girl, and I was the daddy's girl. And so I just, as I say, follow him everywhere he gets. So I want to talk about John, the 13th chapter, and the 15th verse. And it says, for I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Now, I reference that scripture because that is kind of like what really influenced me when it concerned my daddy. I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. So the example my dad showed me was always, always in church. So that, of course, is what I followed. Always, always, always in church. So how you and I live our lives and how we conduct ourselves may or may not leave an example and influence our children to follow. So wherever you go, and you take your children with you, and whatever you do, guess who's watching? Your children. We often say the others are watching. But more importantly, your children are watching. They are watching and they are listening. Pastor Williams always come up to me and he said, Mom, did you hear Cartier? Mom, did you see Cartier? Because he's always, always watching and saying something that we have said. And one time we were watching television and, the television had some words. You know, they said some wrongs and bad words. And Cartier was over, and we hadn't realized that he just came on through the door. He's supposed to knock, but a lot of times he just walks on through the door. And so my chair, our chair sits, or the back of our chair is to the back to the door. So we don't normally know, unless they knock, that they're coming in. So he came in, as like I said, as he usually did. And the television, they were talking something bad. And we didn't even know he had came in, but he came in, he heard it, and he went right back out. He went back out and he went, we call it the north side of the house. He went to the north side of the house. And he told his father, they over there talking some stuff, some bad stuff over there. He told my son, you don't want to go over there? It ain't right over there. Pastor Williams came back later and said, Mom, I know I want y'all. You got to watch what y'all playing on that television. He said, Cartier said it won't right over here today. So your children are being influenced by what you say, man. Hebrews 11 chapter and the 4th verse says, by faith, Abel offered to God more excellent sacrifice. Amen. Then Cain, through which he obtained righteousness, witnessed that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it, he being dead, still speaks. Now, many times people talk about their loved ones, that they might have heard their loved ones speaking to them. Now, I don't know about y'all, but I'd have been to the cemetery a whole lot, and I ain't never heard no conversations coming out from the grave in the cemetery. And so I don't know about all that. I don't know if any of y'all ever heard the dead speak. Anybody ever heard the dead speak? I don't know. I mean, maybe in your spirit, you felt like mama was talking to you. Daddy was talking to you in your spirit, but I don't know nothing about no dad coming in life and actually talking to you like I'm talking to you now. I don't know anything about that literally. But the last time I was at the cemetery, which was recently, I mean, I was standing right in front of the mausoleum. And I didn't hear anybody come up out of that mausoleum and start talking and having any kind of conversation. So I believe that this scripture is not referring to them actually speaking to us, but I believe that the scripture is referring to something else. What it's talking about is that the dead will have influence over us in today's time. What they have done, what they have said during their lifespan will have influence over us today. Amen? And that what the scriptures is talking about is they have lived an example before us so that it will be a witness unto righteousness, that what their lives have done will testify of the gifts that they had, and that those gifts should have then been given to us. Amen. And I believe that some of you can talk about maybe some of the gifts that God, that your father or that your mother or even anybody that have passed on, your favorite aunts have left you and have put in your bag of gifts, a bag of gifts and given unto you. And that's a little bit what I want to talk about today. God have given us a gift, and or maybe many gifts that we might want to share on today. So I want to be talking about that later today. For a few minutes, I want to talk about Minister Elmore Jones. My father didn't have a great estate that he left to all of us, to all of his children. He left us a small sum of money to each of his children. He left some money. But he left the bulk of that large sum of money to my mom. Somebody say, rightfully so. Amen? According to the word of God, right? He left us something we can do this with. But he left a large sum of money to my mom. Thank you, Dad. Because that meant we didn't have to take care of my mama, right? Okay, he didn't have a piece of property to leave us or to leave me, one that I would manage, one that I would take care, and then I would leave to my children to cash in on. But he had a piece of property that he left to my mom, one that we managed, took care, sold, and cashed out on to take care of our mom, rightfully so. Come on, somebody, say rightfully so. So, if your mom got a piece of money, take care of it. I mean, a piece of property, take care of it. Manage it to take care of her. Amen? Because that's what the word wants you to do. Amen? So my dad taught me this is the right thing to do. He put that in my gift, and he gave that to us and to all of his children. And I'm so grateful for that today. Amen? So he left that to us. My father did not leave me anything beyond that materially, other than that sum of money and that piece of property. But what he also left me, what he did leave me was a gift that was spoken to beyond the grave and beyond the death. I was too young to know what my father was like all the years outside of the church before me, and I think I mentioned that earlier. And I say that again because a lot of times we get caught up in what others have said, what others know, instead of what you know. What others have said, what others know, instead of what you know. And so I kept my focus on what I know my father to be. And that, I'm repeating that because I think that's significant to God the Father. You have to keep your focus on what you know God to be, not what others have said that they think he is to them. And a lot of times people speak negative about our father, and a lot of times you got to get away from that. You got to keep your focus off of that and keep your focus on God the Father, what he is to you. Amen? So in Bible study, my father often spoke up when he thought that he did not understand the word of God. And so I'm kind of like that. I duplicate that when I'm here in Bible study. If pastor's teaching something and I don't quite get that, I ask. I don't just come to Bible study and sit here. I kind of like, you know, I kind of like, I want to know. I want to understand. So my father gave me the ability to seek answers that I need to know to grow. He was an ordained minister in the church of God in Christ. So I went with him to every service, every Bible study, every revival, every consecration, every church fellowship, and et cetera, et cetera. If there was something at the church and he was going, the wheels was rolling, I was rolling. I was with him, and I watched him, and I watched my mother give their tithe and their offering. In fact, when my father got sick, he gave me the responsibility of managing his money. Actually, before he got sick, he gave me the responsibility of managing his checking account and his savings account. And my responsibility was to send his tithe check into the church. So guess what he gave me when he gave me that responsibility? He gave me the gift of commitment to the Lord's house. He gave me the gift of faith to the Lord's house. And not just to the Lord's house, but the gift of faith, knowing that no matter what the balance looked like in his checkbook, the first thing to do is give unto the Lord. Y'all hear me? No matter what the balance was, the thing he taught me to do, number one, is give your mama the household operating expense. And number two, pay my tithe. And number three, all of these envelopes that had the name and the date by, send these bills to the people I owe. So what he gave me after that was credit worthiness. The gift he gave me was to be credit worthiness. That's why today I have a really high credit score, because he gave me the gift of credit worthiness. He taught me these things by giving me the responsibility and the accountability to pay his debt. He taught that. He gave me that gift. I put that in my bag. When my mom got sick, my dad took care of her up until that point that he could no longer do that. So guess what he gave me in my gift? What gift he gave me at that moment? A gift of love and a gift of care. It hurt him to release that to my sister, but he saw that the gift he had given her was going to work. So these gifts that he has given me, he said, put them to work. And that is what God wants us to do. With the gifts he has given us, he wants us to put them to work. So when he released those gifts, he expected my sister to do what? Put it to work. And guess what she did? She put it to work. Not only did he give me those responsibilities, but he gave her those responsibilities. She had to exercise much love and much care to take care of him when he moved in with her. She was already taking care of mom when he released those responsibilities, but then she had to take care of him. So much love and much care had been given to us. That is why we have much love and much care for God's people today. So that gift he gave us required us to then have what? Patience. So he gave us the gift of patience. Oftentimes, Pat would say, you know what Daddy's doing right now? And I would say, what? She said, he is laying in the bed beside mom. Or he got mama and he put mama on his lap. Or dad is trying to feed mom. Much love and much care. Now he had to have a lot of patience to deal with a person that was in the state of Alzheimer's, in the state of dementia before that, and would accuse him of all kinds of things. Accuse him of taking her money. Accuse him of taking her pills. Accuse him of stealing this. Accuse him of moving that. Call us up and say, Daddy did this to her. Daddy did that to her. And he would call us up, and we had to exercise the gift of patience that we had seen him exercise for her. So when he would call me in the midnight hours and say, Sylvia, your mom, come on somebody. God wants us to use the same gifts that our parents have given us in the Lord's house. So when my dad would call me late at the midnight hour, I had to turn around and use that same gift of patience when the drug addict would ring the line at 2 in the morning and say, Dr. Saunders, I need you to pray for me. How many times I would lay there and I would say, I just want to get some sleep, but the phone would ring when we had heart to heart and somebody would be on the line and say, Dr. Saunders, I need you to pray right now. Many times when we come to church and people would be standing in the line and they would be here for food, and oftentimes they would come into church and say, I just need somebody to pray for me right now. And we had to exercise the gift of patience. We needed to give lay hands right. Y'all don't hear me. I'm talking about my daddy. But the Lord also wants me to share with you how the church needs your gift. The gift that God gives you in the natural passes right over into the spirit. And when we come to Bible study, Dr. Saunders teaches us that our gifts and talents that God gives us in the natural is for God to use in the spirit. The Lord has need. Somebody say, the Lord has need of me. So my dad put in my gift a love for the people and their souls. He put in my gift patience. He put in my gift church. He put in my gift all these things that I may be able to serve the Lord today. Today, church, because of the way my dad lived his life, I know this church knows that God can do anything if we put our faith in him. We know today that there is nothing, what? Nothing, what? Impossible for our God. I sent Taylor the scripture. I'm talking about being in line and being able to draw on the Holy Spirit and understand the gifts that God has given you. I've been telling Taylor that you got to exercise the Holy Spirit in you. So this time I normally kind of talk to Taylor to see what's on her mind and what she's thinking and what songs they're singing. And this time I said, God, I know you. I know you're working it out. I know you're using her spirit, the spirit in you. I said, this time, God, I'm just going to send her the scripture. I'm just going to text her and tell her what the title's going to be and send her the scripture. I sent her the scripture, just one, not all the scriptures I got lined up, but just one. I sent her the scripture and I said, Taylor, this is the scripture that I'm coming from. And then shortly after she texted me and she had all these songs lined up, about 5, 6. And she said, these are the songs I'm thinking about. What you think? I texted her back and I said, excellent choice. Great job. Hallelujah. Every last one of them were in line with the word of God on today. And what did I just say? We know today that there is what? Nothing in what? Did it not sing that? Did it not sing nothing impossible today? That's in my word. That's in the message today. Sometimes I know people don't like what I have to say up here. Sometimes I know people don't like what I say to them. And it ain't made me popular. It has not made me, Lisa, popular. But I've been taught by my daddy just to keep going, Jessica. Keep going on in the good times and in the bad. Some of you don't know the price that I've had to pay. Some of you don't know what I've gone to just to bring me to this place where I am right now. So when I hear people talk something about me or say something about me, I just keep it moving. I just keep going on because you don't know. The woman said, you don't know what's in my alabaster box. You don't know what I had to go through. You don't know what I'm going through. I just got to keep it moving. Good God Almighty. Oh, thank you, Jesus. The struggle it has been to build up a church. I said up a church. Nobody gave us New GWC full of 100 people, 1,000 congregation. They didn't pass this church on to us. We built it up with 12 people. Willing to go over. Caleb said, I'm gonna go over and possess the land. Ha! Y'all, oh, I'm trying to get there. Y'all don't know. Y'all don't understand. We were in the house with 12 people. Ain't that right, Pamela? We were in the house with 12 people that said, yeah, we're gonna have some Bible study up in here. But now we got more than 12 that won't even come to Bible study. Y'all don't understand. I've seen the church build up. I've seen the church dwindle down because people don't want to live by the word of God. They didn't understand or wouldn't accept God's vision for the church. People who walked away away from God's vision for them because of hurt or disappointments in the church, or because wickedness in high places. Didn't she say it? People because of the unwillingness to heal. People left because of the unwillingness to be restored. People left because the kingdom work was too much. People that left because they can't recall, because they can't remember, because they didn't want to do. When there has been just the first family here and Bible study, I've seen that too, or just two partners on the conference line for the Bible study, I've heard that too, or just when there have been a time when there was a rental and there was only one person who showed up to move the chairs, I've seen that too. Y'all don't know what Dr. Saunders has had to go through. Y'all don't know what I've been through because of something that happened or something they did or something they didn't like. But can I tell you something? Instead of saying all of that, I wish somebody will give the testimony about the cars that we've given, about the businesses we've started, about the rents that we've paid, about the debts that we've covered, about the loans that we've given, about the loans that we're repaid, about the houses we've put people in, about the prayers that we've prayed, about the prophecies we've given, about the people we've helped deliver. I can continue. Instead of all that other junk they've been talking about, I wish somebody would testify about all the good that we have. No, I don't hear none of that. You hear me, Lisa? I don't hear nobody getting up to us and saying, but you know they did this, but they did that. All I can hear is, but they said they didn't like you. But they said they didn't. Speaking in tongues. One that I don't even know nothing about. But finally, I share that my dad put in my gift prayer and supplication. In spite of all that, I keep petitioning. I keep petitioning God. Trust me, I know what you may be thinking right now. But I had to ask God why I mentioned the struggle in the message. And then he took me back to Ephesians 6. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are, and that he may encourage your hearts. God wants to encourage your heart today. You may be going through something similar, something greater, something lesser. I don't know what it is, but you're going through something, because you're here today to hear this word. Somebody has said something about you. Somebody's done something to you. You need to know that you can keep going on too. If I can do it, you can do it too. Amen? So I'm going to move on just so I can end the word. But I want you to know, Peter 2:21 says, "But even hereunto were you will call, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps." There's a mirror up here for one reason. I was with my G-baby, my grandson. I'm going to close. G-baby loves the mirror. Guess he gets that from his mom. He comes into my room and I have a mirror it's a stand mirror with, you know, that you open and unlock, and it has jewelry. You know, you can hang jewelry behind it. He comes in my room and he stands in front of the mirror. No, making all kinds of faces and doing all kinds of moves and standing and all this. And he came and did something different than he normally does. He came in and stood to the side. Usually he's faced on. But this time he was standing to the side. wondering what he was doing. And I said, well, gee, baby, get on over here. And I was sitting on the bed, on the side of the bed. I said, well, get on over here. I said, I need you to try on these shirts I didn't purchase for you. I need to make sure you can wear them. So he left the mirror. He came over to the side of the bed, and he took his shirt off. And he was standing like this in front of me with his shirt off. And he did this. And he backed up to the mirror with his shirt off. And he did it. And he sunk his belly in and out, in and out. And he watched, and he watched. He watched as he sunk it in and out, sunk it in and out. I said, boy, would you come over and let me put this shirt on and see if you can fit it? And then he looked again. He sunk it in and out. And I guess it wasn't one he wanted to see. So he said, yeah. He knew he looked different when he took his breath, hunched his shoulders, and held it all in. That this and this didn't work. That extra that he did worked. So I said, what was all that for? He said, well, yeah, you know what to do. You got to do it. So I said, but that's a temporary fix. God brought that back to me today. Two things he taught me through that analogy that G-Baby did, or G-Baby taught me too. If you know what to do, you got to do it. You can't do the things that are temporary. That doesn't fix it. That doesn't fix it. If the word works, use it. Well, if what God gave you works, somebody say, if the what God gave you works, the gift he gave you, don't use what doesn't work. Don't use what doesn't work. If the gospel works, what is the gospel? Christ's burial, your baptismal. Christ's resurrection, right? His Holy Ghost in you, that works. Use it, right? His death, that works. Use it. That's your repentance to salvation. That works in you. Use it. His word works in you. Use it. Come on, somebody. These are the gifts God gave you. His death, his burial, his resurrection. That works. So, come on, stand to your feet. Hallelujah. Don't look for a gospel that will make you just a little more comfortable and appease your conscience and still let you live the life that you want to. Follow the gospel of Jesus Christ. There is no other gospel. Don't go looking for a gospel that would allow you to do what you want to and still feel good about yourself in the process. Don't go looking for another gospel that suits you just a little better. Use the gospel that works, the one unto salvation, because it works. Bow your head. Father God, we love you. We adore you. We thank you for your word today. We thank you for those that had patience to hear, those that had an ear to hear today, those that were able to receive, those that able to that was able to believe. We thank you for those that were watching, those that will watch on the replay, Father God. We pray in the name of Jesus that your word would not only go out, but God, it would fall on fertile ground, as we learned on last week, God, that it would take root, that it would grow, oh God, and that it would bring forth much fruit, oh God, in the name of Jesus. And God, that it will reach the north, the south, the east, the west, oh God, that your people, oh God, would grow, oh God, in the name of Jesus, oh God, and that men, women, children, God, everywhere, oh God, will come to know who you are, what you are, oh God, in the name of Jesus. We bless your name. We magnify your name. God, we give your name all the praises. It belongs to you, God. All the glory and honor, it belongs to you, oh God. We give your name the praise. We come to clap our hands, oh God, because you say, clap your hands, oh ye gates, be lifted up in the name of Jesus. We come to open up your mouths, oh God, to give your name the praise. You said to sing unto you a new song, oh God, so we open up our mouths, oh God, in the name of Jesus. God, we said, you said to shout unto you, oh God, so we shout unto you, oh God. Ha! Oh God, we love you today. Let us, oh God, make a joyful noise unto you with musical instruments, oh God, the cymbals, oh God. The walls of Jericho came down, oh God, because you told us to go out and march, oh God, seven times, oh God, six times, oh God, with the priests and the trumpets, oh God. And then on the seventh time, oh God, you said, oh God, to make a loud noise. So we come to make a loud noise in the name of Jesus, that every Jericho wall will come down in our life today, oh God. Some of us are like Paul and Silas, oh God. We're locked up in a prison right now, oh God. But we shall shout, oh God, until the prison walls, oh God, come open, the gates shall open. Oh God, if there be one that listens to us on today, oh God, we pray, oh God, that the walls and the gates shall be open. It shall be open. It shall be open. It shall be open. It shall be open. We give your name the praise. We give your name the praise. We shall open thy mouths, oh God, that our lips will give you praise. It might not be now, oh God, but we shall call it forth as it be that we are praying for in the name of Jesus. As every head bowed and every tongue confess that ye are Lord. Thank you now, Lord. Thank you now, God. We see in our mind's eye, in the spirit realm, oh God, that every chair shall be filled, because we shall open our mouth. 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 We shall open our mouth in the name of Jesus and testify and witness of the gifts thou have given us in the name of Jesus. As we leave this place, allow our homes to be as we have left us. Now, God, we ask that you will bless the people that will come to our trunk and treat, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Let them know, oh God, that this is the house of love. And our doors are open. Thank you for all things. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and you are worthy to be praised. Let the church say amen, amen, amen. Hug somebody, I love you. And tell them that you love them too.